Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
You know what else is bad?
Well, people ain't laughing in Pittsburgh.
Go ahead. Yes, people are not laughing in Pittsburgh. Antonio Brown, and there's so, I mean, it's stuff coming out every hour on this, if not even more frequently. But you know the deal. He skipped a few practices before their last regular season game, which was a must win for the playoffs. He threw the football at Ben Roethlisberger.
He was imitating Ben Roethlisberger because the throw was at his feet.
Right.
No, but this is what I was saying.
But you think he's doing the right – he wants out, we believe. You think he's doing the right thing?
Just like Jimmy Butler got out of Minnesota by acting stank. Chris, I know it's not professional, but we're not talking about that. I think in order to really get out of Pittsburgh, and it's not – like I said, I don't think that they really want to give up a talent like that. I don't.
No, who does?
I don't think they do. But if you make enough of a stink and you don't return Ben Roethlisberger's – texts and phone calls, and you follow them on Twitter.
Oh,
and
he did that too.
Yeah, he did that. He unfollowed the Pittsburgh Steelers on social media. You know, you do all that kind of stuff, and now he's following the San Francisco 49ers. So he's following them instead, and you do all that kind of stuff. That's how you get yourself traded. So if I'm another team, I wouldn't be bothered by it because I get it. I understand that's your only way of probably getting what you want, make it so miserable that they say, enough is enough. I don't want him here anymore. Let's get rid of him.
I don't have a problem with all of that. I don't have a problem with unfollowing the Pittsburgh Steelers on Twitter. I don't have a problem with flirting with the other players around the league who are saying, oh, they want you to come play for
them.
Oh,
yes.
I don't have a problem with you putting yourself in a San Francisco 49ers uniform on Instagram or Twitter or whatever it was. I don't have a problem with any of that. I don't even have a problem with you saying you want to be traded.
Which he hasn't formally done yet.
What I have a problem with is you, in the biggest game of the season for your team, not showing up for practice and essentially not showing up for the game. I know he showed up thinking he going to play.
Now, ain't no way he thought he was going to play.
I think he thought he was going to play. He had gotten away with so much before.
But not
and
practicing.
Like you said, I think he felt like we got to win this game.
And they need me.
You know they going to play me. And they did the right thing. Kudos to Mike Tomlin.
Because
he did the right thing for not playing.
You would lose the whole locker room.
Oh, man.
You would lose the whole locker room if he did that.
That's my main problem, Rob.
Okay. I understand.
Because if I'm another team, I am wondering. And we can talk about, you can talk about Odell Beckham and all that he's done. None of that even comes close to what Antonio Brown did. He's yelled at offensive coordinators and teammates on the sidelines. He's thrown over, you know, water chest and this and that. And
well, he was just
all
trying
the other
to,
stuff he's done. I'm fine with that.
He was trying to water the grass. That was it.
Right. You can live with that. What I can't live with is you not showing up for any game but the most important game of the season.
No, I get you.
Don't tell me you want to win. Don't tell me you care. Even if you've made up in your mind at that point, I want out.
Now here's
you still have to show up and play.
Here's my counter to that. And I totally agree with you. That's totally different from what he's doing now.
Right.
That's inexcusable. You got to go to practice. Be a professional, even if you're not happy with the situation. So I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm not going to make excuses for him. But when he gets into that interview with that other team and those other people who see his obvious talent, because the guy's a talented
guy. He's great.
That ain't even up for debate. He'll have to make a case on he does want to win. He understands that stuff. It was a mistake on his part. Just own it. If he comes into you, Chris, and you're the general manager, and he says, I never should have done that. I acted immature. I've grown since then. I understand that when things aren't going things aren't always going to go my way, but I need to be a professional. I need to be there for my team, for my teammates, for my organization, for my city, You know what I mean? Yeah. And for me, I need to do that. That was wrong, and I'll never do that again. All I want to do is play football, win, and be happy. And I think I could do that here with this organization. If I hear that as a GM, I'm okay with it.
So you're buying that hook, line, and sinker.
I'm all in.
He needs to say that wherever he's at.
But
I'm not totally buying it. Now, I'm not saying that means I won't trade for him.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
But I'm not totally buying it because I'm sure in the past, you know, people, when your back's against the wall, when you want something, you say whatever you need to say.
But some people don't. They never give in or never accept it or claim responsibility.
Some people
won't, and they'll be stubborn. Those people,
but a lot of people say stuff that they don't really mean.
I get that.
But here's the thing,
Rob. He at least has to acknowledge it to me.
It's going to be tough for them to trade him just because of the financial ramifications for themselves.
And I know there was a story, in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette?
Yeah, and it says they won't be, you know, it'd be $21 million of dead money. It really, with a lot of different things in his contract, it could be more like $6 million. But it ain't that easy. No, it's still something you don't really want to do for financial reasons and for his talent. If I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, Rob, because I think Ben Roethlisberger is part of the problem. Antonio
He played poorly this year.
Right. Antonio Brown feels like, you know, Ben gets away with everything and there's a little resentment there. I think also, unfortunately for Antonio, he's selfish and he's bothered that Juju Smith-Schuster, the other receiver, the number two receiver, was the team MVP, voted by his teammates.
And he had more. MVP, and he had more receptions.
More receptions, more yards. Even though AB had more touchdowns, I think that.
Well, he had 15 and 15 games.
The dude is incredible. But here's the thing: if I'm the Steelers, I'm getting Mike Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger, and AB Antonio Brown in a room together, and maybe Art Rooney or somebody from the higher up.
You're gonna have security in there too.
If I need to.
You might need it.
But I'm sitting down like men, and let's discuss this. Ben, you have to make changes. AB, you have to make changes.
Don't forget.
AB is acting like he's 13 years old. I'm sorry. He's acting like he's 13 years old.
No, it's definitely immature.
You're 30.
Part of it, though, and I'm not talking about I will never endorse a guy not going to practice and doing what he's supposed to. But I understand why he's acting up now, acting out. We talked about it with the Jimmy Butler thing. That was his way, his ticket out. And you know what he got? He got his wish. He got to go elsewhere, and he's playing for a team that's playing for something instead of being in Minnesota with the guys he didn't want to play with.
I get that.
Did he not? He won.
Yeah, yeah. But this is a little bit different. Antonio has his money. He's in a great situation. If you're the Steelers, I'm not just trading him. I'm trying to work it out. I'm trying to get AB and Antonio Brown to go to the teammates. And just what you said, look, I was wrong. I'm trying to get him to do that. And maybe Ben needs to say something to the team too, because he hasn't been the best leader.
Ben probably needs to say something to AB. And Ben was ripping teammates
on the radio. You got to have a behind closed doors, heart to heart. And I'm going to say this too, even though we in the media – Ben, Antonio, Tomlin, whatever executives in the meeting, don't be texting it to a writer.
What do you mean, Chris? What are you trying to say?
I'm being honest. Because I think that bothers. And it's fine for stories
it's
to break
good for
and all
our
that.
Business.
I know. I'm saying, we're in the media and you want that. If I'm in this room with these guys and we're going to have a heart to heart, everybody needs
don't
to know
leak it.
It doesn't leave this room. It doesn't leave the room. That's the only way I can trust you. And so they need to have a heart-to-heart, talk it out like men. That's one thing. I hate when men scramble around and can't talk to each other about something.
Hey, on line one is the Pittsburgh media. They told you to be quiet.
I get it, because I want people to leak it too to me and you and all that stuff. But for the benefit of that organization, you can't do it. You know, your relationship with that teammate or that coach has to be stronger than your relationship to some reporter. Just keeping it real.
No, I
from their perspective.
But there's always people who are out there, and people love to talk. You know that. You've been in the business for 25 years.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
And Rob, you have joked, but maybe there is some truth to it, about LeBron moving to L.A., going to the Lakers to be Meryl Streep. You know, and you know, to be a Hollywood
sensation. But you know what I mean? Right,
yeah.
Right. More about Hollywood. And not that he, if he won, fine, but that wasn't his motivation.
Right.
He wanted to be out in Hollywood. He wanted to be a mover and shaker.
Win, but it's not eating at him like
right.
He is.
Like
I know he's comfortable with his legacy.
He's comfortable with his legacy,
yeah.
No matter what. If he doesn't win again, it's not like he didn't win. He won three.
Yep.
He's got all these other records. About he will eventually pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar scoring. He has all of those things like laid out for him. So I know that. But I think he came here for other reasons.
Well, you look, I mean, because you could say, and I said it before, that look, he's a business mogul. He's even got interest things going on in Hollywood and L.A. while he was in Cleveland, while he was in Miami. But there are things he's doing now that if you I don't even know if you could do them if he was in Cleveland or somewhere else. But it certainly makes it easier to do them while you're here in L.A. And that, I mean, all his shows, Shut Up and Dribble, the documentary, The Shop, where he's, I'm sure that's somewhere in L.A. and all the stars.
You mean my TV idea that he stole from me?
you had it years ago.
You got to admit, you've seen it.
You had it years ago. I don't know if you could have got all those superstars on there. But,
can't
you know,
do it.
All right, but I had the concept.
You had the concept. And he's doing that, and then he's doing his More Than an Athlete with ESPN on ESPN Plus. And look, they've been very entertaining, very good. But on More Than an Athlete, he really started a discussion and some controversy with these comments that he made on his last episode.
That one right there made me the greatest player of all time.
For so many reasons.
I was super, super ecstatic to win one for Cleveland because of the 52-year drought. Like, I was ecstatic. Like, obviously, I showed that the first wave of emotion was when y'all, everyone saw me crying. Like, that was all for 52 years of everything in sports going on in Cleveland. And then after I stopped, I was like, that one right there made you the greatest player of all time. No, everybody was just talking how they were the greatest team of all time. Like, it was the greatest team ever assembled. And for us to come back, you know, the way we came back in that fashion, I was like, you did something special. That's probably one of the only times in my career I felt like you did something special. I haven't had really had time to really like sit back and think, but that was a moment.
Now, Chris, I'm going to defer to you only from this standpoint. You grew up in Akron and, right?
Well, Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Lived in yeah.
Cleveland and worked there and all that.
Northeast Ohio.
Okay, so in that area. And you also, especially earlier on, had a relationship with LeBron.
Right.
Were around him, spent some time. Not as much now, right?
Yep.
But you
now,
did.
I don't see him as much now. But
okay,
yeah,
but you did.
I used to spend a lot of time around
okay.
him.
When you heard that, and I'm not, you know, you could say I'm a LeBron hater or whatever you want to put me on. But what did that... What was your first initial reaction to hearing that, you know, come out of his mouth?
Well, I was surprised he said it because you've never heard Michael Jordan say that. You never heard Kareem Abdul-Jabbar say it. And when you talk about Michael and even Kobe, who's not really in the conversation, but a lot of people, young guys especially, and even guys in the league, former players, will say
idolized
but
Kobe.
But I'm talking about
it.
Guys that played against Kobe.
No, I know.
They think he should be in the conversation. Kobe, though, has never said it. And then Michael and Kobe, you are talking about guys, and I think LeBron has a killer instinct. It's a spectrum, you know? But he doesn't have it to the level that Jordan and Kobe had it.
No, that's times 10
right,
for those guys.
Right, and they have not said, you know, each one of them, every time they stepped on the floor, it was, I'm the best ever. But they've never said it publicly. So I was shocked that he said it. Now, let me tell you a little story. He was talking to Rich Paul, his agent, Maverick Carter, his business manager, and Randy Mims, his personal manager, chief of staff, as they call him. And after they won that series, you know, I was there. And the media on the court, the players on the court, everybody's going crazy. Like, we're all there. And Rich, I was talking to Rich Paul, and he was telling me, so I'm that you're going to see why this. I'm saying this. He was coming up to me saying, He's the greatest, Chris. He's the greatest ever. He's the GOAT. Jordan never could have done that. So I'm sure he was saying the same stuff with LeBron. And I'm not saying that's where the thought came from. LeBron probably just sincerely thinks he's the greatest. But that's that whole crew, and that's what they were thinking, at least Rich and LeBron. And so that's where a lot of this comes from.
But to me, it's just not classy, and it's without humility. You don't need to say that. I don't need to walk into the club and tell everybody I'm the best-looking guy in the club or I'm the richest guy in the club.
Right, right.
You don't have to announce that. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I totally. Michael Jordan, here's what he said. This is from a 2009 interview with Michael Wilbon. Yeah.
I don't want it in a sense because I think it disrespects Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, you know, all the guys that prior to me, I never had a chance to play against. You know, what everybody's saying I am, I never had the chance to compete against other legends that was prior to me. When I hear it, I cringe a little bit because, you know, it's a little bit embarrassing because no one knows, you know. I never had the chance, once again, to play against those guys, you know. I would love to have played against them, but I never did, you know. And for you to say that I'm better than him, I mean, it's your opinion. You know, it's their opinion. I accept that as their opinion. If you ask me, I would never say that I'm the greatest player. You know, and that's because I never played against all the people that represented the league prior to Michael Jordan.
If you didn't like Michael Jordan and you just heard that for the first time, don't tell me you don't like him a little bit more.
No, I'm with you. And look, that's
the humility I'm talking about. And you were right, Chris. On the court against competing. He'd probably tell you, I'm the best. I'll bust you up on this court. You can't play with me. You know, you're not on my level and all that.
But he would never trash talker.
Right. But he would never pat himself on the back. He said, I would never say that. That's not for you to say. And I'm telling you, this is where LeBron disconnects with some people.
Well, and I think to your point about Jordan being this great trash talker, but then he's never going to say off the court, I'm the greatest ever. The reason he would talk trash to you and maybe say, I'm the greatest, I'm better than you, was because he could settle it and show you and prove it to you right then and there on the court. And I think Jordan was being sincere. A lot of people are going to say, oh, Jordan was a killer. He was just saying that. I know Rob G thinks that. But there's another clip going around on social media. After Jordan won his third straight championship with Chicago in the early 90s, he was asked about, you know, how it felt and this and that. And what he said was, this is great that I can say I did something. I'm paraphrasing. But that Isaiah Thomas, Larry Bird,
none of them ever had
and Magic Johnson never did. And they all won. Bird didn't even win two in a row. But Magic and Isaiah won two straight.
Right.
My point is this. Notice he didn't say what Wilt never did or what Kareem never. He said it about guys he played against.
Yes.
He didn't bring up the guys that he never got a chance to play against. And so I think Jordan was being sincere when he said that. And here's the problem. I mean, look, like you said, it comes off as arrogant. It comes off as disrespectful to the others. But the other thing
and
is
it's not,
this.
It's not classy. It just
No. The other thing is this, Rob. It opens you up to – now, granted, LeBron gets a lot of scrutiny as it is.
Right.
But unless your record is impeccable – now it opens you up to even people that may have been on your side. Some of them may say, well, hold on, LeBron, you're not the GOAT. Now it really raises the level of scrutiny even higher because you and I, we don't think he's the GOAT. I think Jordan's the GOAT, and I think it's clear cut.
I think it's clear cut, and it just speaks like LeBron's trying to speak it into existence, like to put it out there in people's heads. I'm going to throw out the number, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369, if you want to chime in on LeBron.
As you said, throwing it out there, and I said this when we co-hosted Undisputed yesterday, and I'm serious about this. I don't know if it's true at all. I haven't talked to anybody in LeBron's camp about this, but I wonder if LeBron is trying to do the Muhammad Ali pattern.
But the only thing
let me explain.
Okay, do that.
LeBron has said he wants to be like Muhammad Ali. One of Muhammad Ali's ex-wives, his second wife, said that LeBron is the Muhammad Ali of this generation. And LeBron has said he wanted to be an Ali in terms of being a global icon, direct quote, global icon. Of all the stuff that Ali did outside of his sport, LeBron, he's known for that as much as for what he did in the sport. LeBron is following that pattern. And I want, you know, one of the things, Rob, that makes us feel, and as great as Ali was as a fighter, one of the things that makes us feel he was the greatest, even if it's subconsciously, was the fact that he told us he was the greatest. He drilled it into our head. Now, he did it in a funny way. He did it with rhymes. He did it, you know, braggadociously. Like, he did it a different way than LeBron. But I'm just wondering, and I'm just wondering if LeBron is thinking, let me say it. Because LeBron's smart. He knew this was going to start a conversation. So let me start putting it out there so people really start believing it or saying it.
But the difference is with boxing, which is an individual sport, and a salesmanship in boxing.
Well, there wasn't before Ali.
But I'm saying.
He was the first. He was unusual to come out like Joe Louis didn't talk like that. Marciano.
No, but
know,
I'm
they
saying.
They didn't talk like that.
Right, but I'm saying it's almost like when you go to these press things and you know, like this is what people
nowadays
do.
Nowadays, it's definitely. Yeah.
But
they
I'm
copied
saying,
Ali. Yeah.
And Ali was a polarizing figure. There was no in between. Either you
people hated
either,
him because
no,
of
I was gonna say, either
even
you,
blacks.
Even you love Muhammad Ali or you hated him because he was so braggadocious. I'm pretty. You remember all the stuff he used to say?
Yeah,
it wasn't just that.
Everything.
I'm pretty.
I'm this, I'm that. Before he beat Sonny, listen, you said it on the show.
Right.
He was saying that before he won the championship.
I'm the greatest, and he hadn't even won the championship. So that's what I'm saying.
But to your point, people, including African Americans, because now Ali is, as much as everybody else loves him, black people really love him because he stood up for black people so much. My father was like, we hated him. When he was Cassius Clay, we hated him. He bragging, he's this, he's that. Sonny, we wanted Sonny Liston to knock his block off.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He was the perfect polarizing guy because there's no middle ground. Either you were all in or you were out on him.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
The New York Football Giants.
Yes.
Yet another disappointing season. In the weakest division in the NFC, they finished dead last, 5-11. You and I told them.
Didn't I get this to you for your birthday?
Yes, you did.
I was just looking at that jacket.
Yeah, this sweat jacket. Nice one, too.
Nice.
But anyway, back to the Giants. We told them, you better draft Sam Darnold or
get
some quarterback.
Get a quarterback, franchise
like Sam
quarterback.
Darnold.
Yep.
And instead, they drafted Saquon Barkley, who you and I agree should be the rookie of the year.
And lived up to the hype, right?
Oh, my gosh. I think he surpassed the hype.
2,000 yards from scrimmage.
Yes.
He was unbelievable. But catching the football, running the football.
He's a running back, and it just isn't as important as having that franchise quarterback, and maybe Sam Darnold will become that for the New York Jets instead of the New York Giants, who could have had him. So they're stuck with Eli Manning, and today GM Dave Gettleman talked about going forward, is it Eli or someone else next season?
Eli and I had a very extensive conversation on Monday. No holds barred. He took me in the low post and won. But, you know, the bottom line is it was a very honest and upfront conversation. I'll keep what was said private between he and I. We're going to evaluate everything. Everything's on the table for us.
No holds barred. You got to pull that clip out the way he said that. Did you hear that?
Yeah, that was good. And I like
no holds barred.
He took me in the low post and bodied me, or what did he say? Something to that effect.
Yeah, that was good. But you know what? The Giants are a day late, a dollar short, and now they got to hope somehow, some way, a quarterback lays it, you know, falls into their lap. You knew that this was coming. I know everybody. They wanted the old coach and general manager. Remember when they benched him? Remember they were
McAdoo, and they benched Eli.
And Jerry Reese. You know,
yes,
they wanted them
GM
out of town after that. Oh my God!
And they
how could
did
you do that?
Them,
and they got them both thrown out of town. Right? But they were right though, Chris. They were on the right track. It was time to move away from Eli, and now the Giants. It sounds like they're non-committal, which is what they should be. You can't totally throw them out because you don't know if you're going to get a quarterback or not.
Rob,
so you got to be a little careful to just say, well, he's done, he will not be our quarterback, because you haven't secured a quarterback.
At this point, you have to enter next season thinking Eli Manning's your quarterback.
Because you don't have a guy yet.
You don't have anybody.
No, I got that.
And let me say this, and I totally was with you and still am with you, that they should have drafted Sam Darnold. Even if Eli would have started this year, for the whole year, half the year, three quarters, whatever, you could have groomed Darnold for the next era.
No doubt about it.
However, I will say this. Second half of the season, Rob. Second half of the season, when the offensive line got solidified to some degree, Eli wasn't that bad. That's all I'm saying. Look.
Okay, but here's what I'm going to say.
Let me give you some of the numbers.
Okay.
The last eight games, they were 4-4. Wasn't all Eli, but he played a significant role. He threw 13 touchdown passes, only 5 interceptions. They put up 38 points against Tampa Bay, 30 against Chicago, whom they beat, 40 against Washington, and 35 in a loss to Dallas. The offense got going. Eli was not the worst problem in the second half of the season. I'm just saying, again, if Dwayne Haskins is there, I'm taking him. If they can get a high draft pick or wherever they're sliding right now, I don't know, fifth something, whatever they are, if you can get Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State, who looks like the best quarterback in this class,
he tore it
assuming
up.
He comes out, take him.
Well, my
but right now, whether Eli can still do it next year or not, you need to get that next guy. And I think it could be Haskins, but I'm just saying Eli could be okay for next year.
To me, the problem is I always look when your numbers start, when you know, and you give the last eight games and they were 4-4, but the season was over. And sometimes those stats aren't always real-time stats. I want to see the stats when the season starts and when the games really matter and you're in the race and you have a chance. Once you start, I don't know what they started. What did they start?
Well,
2-6?
They ended 4-4. They ended 5-11.
So they were
1-10. Or no, 1-7.
See what I'm saying? Like they were 1-7 when they got started. And then once that's okay, once you're 1-7, the playoffs are out of the picture. You're not going to win anything. And it's kind of fraudulent numbers.
It's not. Well, I would disagree because
the numbers aren't the same.
Your guy Matt Stafford, you talk about this like once the game's out of reach, then the defense is playing prevent and they're giving you all this stuff underneath and
right.
You pad the stats. I get that, but teams aren't doing that for full games. Even though the Giants were 1-7, it wasn't like teams were taking them lightly or teams aren't playing hard against them or they're playing some funky defense that gives up yardage. They had to beat the Giants.
They still
had to win these games. And I also would say this, Rob. Eli is a different animal. You know this as well. You're the one always pubbing him as Mr. Clutch. And
no doubt.
Hall of Famer.
I told you.
So I'm saying it would be one thing with a young guy who hasn't done it. You might say, oh, well, he didn't get going until the pressure was off, the season was over, we were out of the playoffs, and then he played well. I wonder how he would do it when the pressure's still on. We know Eli is best under pressure, so I think he's a little different in that regard.
Only difference is he's an old 37, and he's played a lot of games. You know, he started every game until that one game, so you know what I mean? He's been durable, but he's been beat up a lot. Been sacked a lot. My only thing, he's an old 37, and he's not unlike any other great quarterback. And when I say great, greatness for his championships, not overall play. But how many guys, we count down the list, Chris, all the time. Did Joe Montana finish his career in San Francisco?
Look, I'm with you.
No, none of these guys did. None.
Yes.
The only guy who looks like it's going to happen is Tom Brady. But all these other great quarterbacks, they wind up going somewhere else to finish because you run out of time in a place. Eli's time off of exit 16W is up.
Well, look.
You know that I'm Jersey Turnpike.
Yeah, I'm with you, but, like, again, they should have drafted Darnold. They should draft Dwayne Haskins if they have the chance.
If they're lucky
but
enough.
You don't – where are you going? If you don't get Haskins, what are you to do?
Well,
it's going to be Eli – and I'm not going to completely write them off. If the offensive line is solid, You got good receivers. You got a great running back and a great receiver in Beckham.
Let me tell you something. The other one
maybe they can get some things done.
You mentioned, I think, Teddy Bridgewater got a chance to play, and it was a disaster. You know, like, everybody was like, well, Teddy.
I've liked Bridgewater.
I know,
yeah.
But you saw the
and
game
I'm
the
not
other day.
Put, I'm, yeah, I'm not going to put one game I'm not going to.
But I'm saying that was like.
Like, if I'm Jacksonville, I'm still thinking of Teddy Bridgewater. But it was ugly.
It was ugly, and that was his chance to, like, you know, he's been sitting there, hasn't been playing. Yeah. Like,
he hadn't played in years.
No, it's been a while. And I felt bad that it was so bad. Because I'm sure people are going to take a look at that film. That's all they got
are,
on him.
And think about it. As much as we – and I'm just going off what he did in Minnesota, and he obviously was a great
leader.
Before
he got hurt.
Yeah, but the Jets must have seen something in practice too. Like, maybe has he lost it?
That's
has
what
he,
I'm saying. That,
right.
Because they got rid of him. They traded him. They were, like, moving on. And it must have said there's something that they see. That's why I always say it was like the Kirk Cousins thing in quarterback. Washington drafted him, right, the same year they drafted RG3, and they watched every single snap.
Yeah.
They knew him.
You know him better than anybody.
Better
else.
Than anybody. It wasn't like he was somebody else's. They didn't know where he was in the beginning.
You
no.
Like
they saw everything, and they refused to sign this guy to their own pick.
And they just,
didn't
I mean,
that
you
say
talk
something
about refusing,
to you?
They did everything they could but sign him. Yeah. No question.
Didn't it tell you that they knew something that – other people didn't know.
It was like dating a woman, living with her for years.
Right.
But you never intended to marry her for some reason. And, yeah, that's what it was with him. But, Rob, again, so let's take out Teddy Bridgewater because he was one of the guys you might say, okay,
maybe they could
bring him
stop
in as
gap.
A stopgap. Yeah.
Right.
So my only point is that Eli is probably going to end up being the guy. And as bad as that is, they have other problems that are worse. I actually think I was a little heartened by the second half of the season by Eli Manning.
I'm going to tell you right here, my gut, Eli Manning will not NOTB with the Giants next year.
With them. So, okay, so who?
I don't.
Even if they – so you're saying they're going to get a free agent because even if they draft somebody, it's not going to be –
Nick,
they're not gonna
Nick
give
Foles
it to,
will be available.
Well, hey, I would bring in Nick Foles.
Then there's no way the Eagles are going to sign him to a $20 million contract as a backup. You got Wentz.
Yeah. They're going to be – look, Jacksonville –
I'm just saying.
I know. But
I'm just
there's going to be a lot of teams that go after Foles.
That's just my gut. I don't – because of the history of this league and quarterbacks rarely finishing with their original teams, I believe Eli could wind up in Jacksonville – with Coughlin,
well, yeah, that's a
or something like that,
and,
Chris.
And look, that he be an upgrade over Bortles.
Well,
he
Bortles is out.
Bortles is horrible, right. But you know he'd be an upgrade over Bortles.
Barely.